baptisms of blood. And I have taken a Bible reading from Ephesians, and I want to read to you a little from chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, and then go on to chapter 2. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now again, we have reference to the body being the church. That's very important to remember. Now let's go on to chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And then in chapter 2 of Philippians, I'll read just one verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Of the cross. Not on the cross, but of the cross. I want to read to you a few other references here.
What chapter?
Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then again in Ephesians chapter 2, this is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15, 16, and 17, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now that's also a very significant verse. For we, being many, that means all of us, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. There's much that has been said and is being said in the Christian world today with regard to the shedding of the blood of the cross. And also, there is much being said about, have you been washed? Many questions have been asked, and this is the chief one. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Now, just exactly what does that mean? We know that in truth, we are not washed in blood on the outside. That's a ridiculous statement. So just exactly what is the meaning of this? It has to have an inner meaning, and it does. But this meaning, unless you have experienced it, certainly cannot be understood. The only exception to that is when somebody who has experienced it is able to tell you of the truth. Now there comes the time when all things must be reconciled to Christ within the body. We are made, we are born as the children of human parents. We are told by the Christian faith that we are born in sin. But sin, in its broad sense, merely means separation from God. It is the idea that we are separated from God and we must be reconciled to him again, or we must, through full knowledge, realize that we are one with him. And this is accomplished, you see, at a given time in each individual's spiritual development. When you have come to the point where you are ready to surrender yourself and all of your possessions at the feet of God, then God comes in, he picks you up, and he puts you through that which is necessary to purge you of this idea or sin of separation from himself. And you go through many things. But as we talked about last time, there is the baptism of water. Now we speak of the baptism of blood. And it is said in India that few indeed go through this experience. And few there are who go through the experience live to tell the tale, because indeed it is a terrible experience. I know, because I went through it, and I have never been through such pain and through such suffering in all of my days. It was terrific. You yourselves will be saved through grace. You will not go through what I went through, because it was predestined that I should go through. But there came a time when the human ego, which is within me, was to be crucified on my own cross, which is to say my body. This is the cross upon which the crucifixion takes place. Somebody asked me just a short time ago if I didn't think that Christ was crucified on a wooden cross. Now the Bible right here says the death of the cross. It doesn't say the death on the cross. So I say that the death of the cross is correct, because it is the death of the human ego on this physical body, which is in the form of the cross. This is the cross of every single man who lives. It is common to all men. We are born with two forces within ourselves, the force of good and the force of evil, or the positive and negative forces. One projecting force which wants to take us into worldly enjoyment with a full concentration out in the world and the satisfaction of worldly desires, and the other one which is a gentle spirit, which gradually, we can say through conscience in the beginning, and then through a tremendous desire to realize the truth of who are we? Where did we come from? What exactly and who exactly is God? This desire comes, and that one wants to take us to this knowledge of our oneness. Every desire we have within ourselves, all the love that we reach out for, no matter in what form, is this unconscious desire of every man to find his oneness with the eternal spirit which dwells within him, which in truth is his very self. There is nothing else but that spirit, nothing else, anywhere. All forms, the air, the moon, the sun, the stars, all growing things came from that one great love, and all are he. We have this individual idea of personality, of this is our dear one. But it is God, everywhere. There is nothing but God. And so when this time comes to reconcile all things unto himself, and that himself is God, then this tremendous battle between these two forces within ourselves takes place. It is called the Battle of Armageddon. And the three lower spinal centers are the centers in which the consciousness is centered on all of the worldly things. And as the consciousness rises in the spine to come to this moment of crucifixion, it rises through these three spinal centers and finally reaches the heart center. And then the forces of the three upper ones and the three lower ones come together, and the battle is on. It's a tremendous thing. Now, I will tell you my own personal experience. I went to India to surrender myself completely and utterly at the feet of God. I went to a completely realized master, one with universal vision, who had indeed become, as it says in the Christian Bible, like a little child, and he had entered the kingdom of heaven. To him, his beloved Ram was everywhere, and the bliss that he experienced shone in his face, and this power in this gentle soul was so tremendous that you can't begin to imagine it. And so I was prepared for a period of, well, I got there in October on the 15th, and I went into the state in February. And it was under tremendous circumstances. I sat in the Bhajan hall. All this preparation had been going on. We had been invited to a wedding. It was the first Indian wedding we had ever attended. And Papa saw to it that I had a very fancy sari. And somehow I was constrained to say to him, it is the, what was it now? The last dinner, or the last meal before the prisoner is executed. And he nodded his head. Now, why I said it, I don't know, but I felt this way about it. So I said it. So we went to the wedding, and then a few days elapsed. We were sitting in the Bhajan hall, and there was this little woman that looked like an angel. She was sitting in the lotus posture, gazing up at him. He was sitting here, and here was she. And her face was just utterly filled with bliss. There was a man over at the side who had been there for several weeks who had not uttered a word to anybody. And he sat there also. There were many men who had come in all of a sudden from eastern India. They had started out for a place 200 miles from their home and all of a sudden found themselves in the ashram, and they couldn't remember how they got there. This I heard from their own lips. And I said to Papa, what tremendous power you have in that one small body. And he says, shh, like this, but he didn't want me to speak about it. So they were all there. They were all sitting around watching this. And I sat there in half lotus posture. All of a sudden, I pulled my knees up to me. Papa had been talking about the story of the Buddha and the thief, and how the thief had stolen the jewel from the Buddha. And all of his fellow travelers had deserted him, and he had been found guilty. And they brought him before the Buddha for punishment. And all of a sudden he stopped himself. And he said, Mother, he said, if I had been the thief who had stolen the jewel and you were the Buddha, would you forgive me? And I said, of course, Papa. Not realizing what he was in truth asking me, that he was about to steal or eat my ego. That the crucifixion was about to take place, and he wanted to know if I would forgive him for taking this jewel in the human sense, of putting me through this crucifixion and the death of the human body. And immediately I said, yes. So I looked over at the side, and this man over there looked at me, and for the first time, he nodded his head at me in encouragement, it seemed. And having put my hands up around my knees, I was looking at Papa, and he looked as though he were seeing something above my head. All of a sudden, he said, ah, just like that. And I went into the started walking the road to Calvary, the way of the cross. And it was a terrific one. I lost all sense of normal body consciousness at that moment. Everything is hazy, and still I remember it. I was in the Christ experience right up to here. And it was as though I were Jesus, who later became the Christ after the crucifixion, and that I was going around the countryside healing the sick, and the blind, raising the dead. And the editor of the Vision magazine was there, and he had an operation on his eyes for cataracts, and he had very dark glasses on. And I remember coming out of the Bajan Hall, and I looked at him, and I thought, he can't see well. So I took, it says, you know, about the spittle that Jesus used, out of my mouth, and bang, right on his forehead, I put it. I don't know what he thought. And I went back to my room. And I did many, many strange things, because you see, we're talking the other night, and some of us, about this state that you go through, in effect, is a definite state of schizophrenia. The only difference is that if it is a spiritual experience, you come out of it completely balanced, completely sane, and completely God-realized. But the one who is affected this way by a mental disease loses all sense of identity. This is the way you differentiate between the two. So I was in this tremendous space between two worlds, and the forces were warring within me and all around me. And you get queer impressions of the things that you want to do or the things that you should do and the way that you should protect yourself. It was very, very strange. And I remember sitting up in my bed, and it was as though God spoke to me, and he said, are you willing to do anything I ask of you? And I said, yes. He said, all right. He said, I will bring you in some food. Let me see if you can eat it. This food that was brought to me was probably fine, but to me it looked very unappetizing and something less than food. And I sat there, and I forced myself to swallow every bit of it. And I remember that I felt that the lamp should be kept burning. And again, the correlation with the Bible, where it talked about the 10 virgins and the oil in the lamps, kept recurring to my mind. These are all the things, you see, that were coming in. And also that the water in the faucet should continue to drip, because if that water discontinued dripping, I was going to leave the body for good. I was never going to be on earth again. So I was most solicitous about these two things, that the lamp had to be burning and the water had to be kept running. I gave everybody a bad time about that. So finally, I went to sleep that night. And the next morning, the real crucifixion took place. And the last conscious thought I had was of myself stretched out on the floor in the form of a cross. And I've been fighting with these forces inside of myself. I had knocked over a stool. I had broken a lamp. And it was a terrific thing. And Father was there. And he put a cloth over my face, and I felt myself smothering, but there was just a small hole in the cloth, and I could see the rafters of the building. And I thought to myself, I must be saved, I must be saved. And I lost body consciousness. I don't know how long I was in that state, but the next thing I knew, I was on the bed, and I heard the most glorious heavenly music I have ever heard in my life. And it was to Papa's mantra, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to God. And this mantra was sung as though the angels were singing it, and in a different tone and way than I had ever heard anyone sing it before. And I thought to myself, why does Papa let everybody sing this mantra in whatever way they want, in whatever key they want? And some of them were very much out of key. Why doesn't he insist that this be sung as I hear these angels singing? And then all of a sudden, I heard Father crying at the side of my bed. And I heard Guli, the girl who had been assigned to take care of me, say, you must stop your crying. It is your, and brace up and be a man. It is your cross she is carrying. God had given me a tremendous revelation with regard to Father in 1954. And although, pardon me, I had said nothing to her about this, nevertheless, this confirmed, along with many other things, everything, the truth of everything that had been given to me. And so gradually, I came out of that state. My bed was covered with blood. I don't know how it happened, nor what was wrong, but the sheet was just saturated with blood. And so gradually I came out of this, and I would go into a state where I would be taken down into the depths of hell. I can tell you minutely everything that it says in there about the Christ, because I too descended into the hell of my own being after this had happened to me. And then I'd be taken up into heaven, and I would be shown such tremendous visions, such tremendous revelations. And every single one of them true. And inside of myself, these earthquakes happened. I heard them. I heard airplanes crashing, tremendous upheavals of the earth, automobiles crashing. I heard the cries of people. I felt famine within the earth of myself, nation fighting against nation, because everything that is in the Bible is within ourselves, because we are a complete universe. Just as this whole universe is one whole, so also are we a miniature universe in which everything on the outside is contained inwardly. I heard all of these things, and I was desperately afraid that my loved ones wouldn't survive. And as I came out of this, gradually, it was a tremendous experience. I said to Papa, I told him about the experience, and I said, is this going to happened to everybody on earth? Are they safe? Yes. I said, will it happen to each one individually, or will it happen to people in a group? He said, it will happen individually when each one is ready to go through the experience, except in those cases where there is mass karma involved. And so this started the whole thing. And it started, I apparently sealed my destiny one night when he was speaking, as I think I've told you before, about all of the scriptures being historically true. And I challenged him, because this isn't what God told me. And I said, they are historically true in one sense, Papa, but isn't it the truth that the scripture, that every scripture is the story of man's evolution from the human to the divine? And he looked right at me, and just then a tremendous bolt went through my head, just as lightning had struck me, and he said, you have made him safe, just like this. And that's when the experiences commenced. It was tremendous. days went on, and my whole mouth became filled with fungus. My whole mouth was coated just like you would have diphtheria. I couldn't swallow anything. I was 4.5 months without one bite of food, without any water, without any liquid at all except 13.5 pounds of glucose water. For 7 days, I took not one speck of anything into my body, nor was there any elimination of any kind. And the spiritual fire burned in my body so tremendously that they were fearful that it would burn the cells of the brain out. And they tried everything. They had specialists come up from Mangalore. They had specialists from the village. I wouldn't let any of them touch me. They couldn't get near me. They tried to give me shots. Nothing took down this spiritual fire or fever. Remember that it speaks about Moses in the burning bush. And this is the serpent force, the electrical force at the base of the spine, which when you start to go through this experience, starts to rise in the spine. And the higher it rises, the more this fever goes through your whole being. And it centers in the brain. So finally, after 1 week, they sat me out on the back porch, and they formed a bucket, the boys formed the bucket brigade, and they had huge, big brass buckets on their head filled with water, and as each one of them came, they just dumped water all over me. And that finally broke the fever. And I gradually came back to some semblance of normal consciousness, but not completely. And then I went into another state. And I was doing all sorts of strange things. I was going to clean up the world because it had to be as perfect in earth as it was in heaven. I even got up out of bed and scrubbed the floor with a cloth. This sounds strange, doesn't it? But I did it. I can remember doing it. And they said all over India that it is very rare that there is total recall of these experiences, but through God's grace and His will, I remember all of these things. So I was tied in bed like this, and I have seen many pictures of the Christ, that instead of the nails in the hands and the feet, there are the cords around the wrist and around the feet. And this is the way I was. And I would put my body over this way and over that way, and I would try to turn, and every time I would do this, Father would slap me back. And you see, God was using him too, because if he hadn't done what he did, I wouldn't have been able to come out of this and to release the consciousness from the bodily jar, which was necessary to be done. And so this went on, and the cords were tied so tightly on my ankles that it was literally months afterward until that feeling, that pain went away. And strangely enough, no matter what knots he would put in, or anybody would put in my feet, I'd get out of it. But I couldn't do this with my hands. And then it speaks in Revelations about so many cubits this way, so many cubits this way, you see. And this is describing what happens when you go through this experience, because the body must move, and you're constantly saying things or you're singing things. Because don't forget that sound controls the elements, so it's necessary for the body to move in order to change the atomic structure of the whole body so that the consciousness can be released. And this is a tremendously painful thing. The pain was so great that I just didn't think I could stand it. And I heard the blood gurgling through my circulatory system. And first it was go one way, and then another way, and then all of a sudden my navel would be depressed as one of these evolutions would be completed. And finally I said to God, God, will it take much longer now? And he said, no, just be patient. This I actually heard. It won't be much longer now. It was like pouring wine into a keg. It was this gurgling like that. And all of a sudden I felt the heart beating on the right. And all of my bodily function was on the right instead of the left. And I didn't understand it. And I told you before that I asked Papa about this, and he said that this was a psychic heart that had now come into function. In other words, through all that went on, through this baptism of blood, the whole being was changed, the consciousness released from the physical body, And from that moment on, my consciousness was functioning in the astral, the psychic, or the electrical body, whichever name you want to place it. But this was only the first experience, and there were two more to go, because that was the first day of the descension into the hell, you see. Then the second one is when you are released from this astral body, and the third one is when you're released from the idea or the causal body. And then if it is God's will, the consciousness returns to the body, and you function as a Christ one, a glorious one of God. Now this experience was tremendous, and the pain across this heart region was so immense that I can't begin to tell you. And this fungus built up in my mouth, and it seemed as though all of my teeth were crooked, and they felt like mountains. And I remember that one vision came, and it was like I heard St. Francis driving the wolves in front of him. And I thought, how tremendous even that he's in this thing too. And so I prayed to him, to pray to God for me. And it seemed as though he went by, then part of this was released. Part of the pain was gone, and part of the pressure from my mouth. Gradually, I came back to consciousness, but not fully. And the pain was so great that I sat for pot. And this was at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said to him, I remember kneeling on the bed facing him, and I said, Papa, you must help me. You must take some of this from me. What can he do, he says. I said, I don't know, but you must. I cannot bear it and live. And I deliberately reached over and took his hands, placed them on my chest, and I gave him part of what I had. The release came, but not completely. I was still in such terrible pain. It was unbelievable. And there were two boys with him, and he was going down to look at the house of a worker. And he got just a little way outside, and he fell on the ground. And he had to be picked up and carried to bed. And he remained in bed 3 days with the pain I had given him. And still I had. Still I had. This is the baptism of blood. This is what it means to be washed in the blood of the Savior. Inside of yourself, that Savior is within every man. Every man. And it's a very real experience, the most real experience I've ever had in my life. And at the end of it came something very unusual, the body and the blood of the Christ. And I held it in my hand, the flesh and the one drop of blood in this styrofoam capsule that looked like a little pill with powder in it. And I broke it open, and there was one perfect drop of white blood. But this didn't come until 2 years later, because it took me all that time to go through the 3 days. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day in the Lord. Now this is not something I just imagined. I had never heard of it in this way in all of my life. I have never read about it. It was God himself who, because of my total and complete surrender to him, and because I had been given the vision of who I was and what I had to do, had lifted me up and put me through this experience so that I'd be able to tell all who came after the living truth of what the crucifixion means, of what it means to be baptized and washed in the blood of the Christ. And it is a tremendous price to pay. But I count it as nothing, even as Christ did, for the glory which came afterward. Because I was lifted up into the highest part of my being, and I came face to face with God. And the light of his presence was so great that it was overwhelming. And I was filled with such bliss as you cannot possibly dream of. And what price is there in the human sense that one would pay in order to have this experience of oneness and to see the glory of the Lord? What price wouldn't we pay? It's a tremendous thing. All things. You see, in the beginning there is the separation. And we are Gentiles, uncircumcised, you might say. But all of these things at the proper time work together. And the old man has to be done away with. He has to be completely purged or purified. And you definitely go through this state of purgatory or purging in order that you might be completely purified so that the light of God can come in you. It is the most tremendous experience. And the most wonderful part of it is that it says in here that we are all part of that body. We are all part of that breath. If we would only read and think of in logical reasoning fashion, instead of accepting blindly the misinterpretations that have been given to us, we would realize that God is one. That the Christ means the Christ consciousness everywhere. And that the one who attains that high state of oneness with Him in truth sits at the right hand of the Father and has jurisdiction over all the things of heaven and of earth. But that one is completely subject to the will of the Father. I come not to do my will, but His. And so you have no will of your own, because having given yourself in complete and total surrender to the Lord, only the Lord dwells there. And yet in order to come back, which incidentally took me 12 long years to come to this state of balance which I now enjoy, you must come down and function in human consciousness in this world of duality. You have no choice. The human ego has been crucified, but there must be an ego there, a sense of I-ness, a center from which you can operate in a human body. Because even though that body has been divinized, it is still made of flesh. It still operates in this world. It still is dependent only on God, that the five senses have to be used. The 10 qualities of the subtle mind have to be used. And so it is quite a thing to come down and function. And in the end, as I've told you before, after all of those years, I was given the choice. Do I go on to complete liberation or do I come back? And I heard the calls of my children because I was their mother in this vision everywhere. And I could not bear to see them suffer the way they were, not knowing it, without coming back and telling them the truth and trying to help them to their divinity, knowing that they wouldn't go through what I did, that they would be saved by grace if they could only have the faith to believe and the courage to change their lives and to make it into something which would glorify God within themselves. It takes courage. You have to be a hero in order to go through this war, which is necessary, this battle. Believe me, it's no place for weakness. But you would not be with me, any single one of you, if you had not earned the right to be here at this time and to know this truth, and to take this truth and apply it to your own lives, and to really do something about it, instead of going on in the human sense, to realize that in truth, God dwells in your form, that the Word was made flesh and dwells among you, because every form that is made of flesh. And is it not the living Spirit of God who dwells in this temple and in every temple? Jesus himself said so, that this is the temple of the living God. And I say that the crucifixion, regardless of how many were crucified on wooden crosses, took place in the body of Jesus who became the Christ, even as I have described it to you, because everything it is, I tried in my puny way to describe the experience to you, to fit it in with what I see here. And yet, I'm sure that I'm inadequate to explain it to you. I don't know whether or not you believe me, but I tell you the truth. It is the only thing which makes sense. It is the only thing which makes sense. Because everything happens within. If the kingdom of heaven and God are to be found within, as Jesus says, then you have to take the means within to reach that heaven within yourself, to find God within yourself, so that you may see his second coming out of the clouds of the heaven of your own being. There can be no other answer if it were to be so. After 2,000 years, I'm sure we would have seen something more of a miracle on the outside than we see today. This miracle takes place in each and every one of us when we make ourselves ready to receive him. He is the sole occupant of this whole universe. He is the sole doer of this whole universe. And so no matter what, all things go to him and are contained within him. There is nothing but God everywhere. Lift your consciousness to the heaven within yourself and see his glory. And when you come to that state of consciousness, then the healing within yourself takes place. And if it be God's will, whoever your mind dwells upon at that time is also ready to rise to great heights. But know this, that there is nothing but God. No place to go, nowhere, and no one to whom we go, because we are all. We are all the separate cells of this one body. This is God himself living his life in the forms which he himself creates. Always, everywhere, now and forever. So this is what it means to be baptized in the blood of Christ. But it also says in there that through grace we may be saved. You can be lifted up. If your faith is strong, if your courage to find him surpasses your desire for everything else, if you cease to punish yourself and reward yourself with the gift of his blissful presence, how beautiful is our Lord when we really see him and know him. There is no feeling, no experience in this world, no joy as great as communing with him who is your very self. He fills your being. He fills you with his light. And he walks before you, making perfect your way. I come to thank you to go to him and to find that one who is your very self. I tell you the truth. It has never been told like this before, but you see, the time for knowing has come. I have gone the way. I have paid the price. I offer you this gift of knowledge. I would like you to go within yourselves and to make the effort to realize the truth of what I say. Because until you go within yourself, as the Christ enjoined you, into your secret temple and close the doors and commune with him until you find whether or not I told you the truth, you will not know for yourself except through faith. You have no right to say it isn't true until you have done that, until you get an answer. Because God will answer the prayer of every sincere devotee. He will give you the truth. He will show you the truth. He will speak the truth to you. And you too will know, like I do, that it is the truth that I have told you, beyond all doubt. Let us pray to him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom. And the power. And the glory. Forever. Amen. O Heavenly Father. May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Oh.